Yom Kippur, depending on who tells its story, is animated by one of two central wounds. The first, in the story Sefer Shmot tells us, is the wound of the Chet Ha'egel, the Jewish people's foundational sin against God. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. On which day did God relate to Moshe the portion relating to the temple? It was on Yom Kippur. The Holy One, blessed be He, declared, "Let gold be placed within the Mishkan to atone for the gold with which the golden calf was fashioned, as it is said." And all the people broke off the golden rings. Thus they atoned with gold. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, "For I will restore health to you, and I will heal you of your wounds." In this telling, Yom Kippur is the day that Moshe receives the command to build the Mishkan, which is meant to allow the Jewish people a pathway to atone for the Chet Ha'egel. The gold of the Mishkan can atone for the gold of the calf. While the tone of the Midrash is optimistic, focusing on the pathway to repair, this vision of Yom Kippur contains the Egel at its core. The day of Yom Kippur is inextricably bound up with our rejection of God. While the Midrash ends with a verse from Yirmiyahu, which discusses God healing the Jewish people's wounds, using it as a proof text for the idea that God will allow the Jewish people to atone for our sin, it is God's wound that lurks in the unspoken background. Ongoing atonement in interpersonal relationships is necessitated by ongoing hurt. In establishing Yom Kippur as a day eternally dedicated to atoning for the Egel, God also intimates that His wound, the wound created by the Egel, will never entirely heal. But in Sefer Vayikra, the focus shifts. It is no longer God's wound inflicted by the Jewish people that colors Yom Kippur. Instead, the animating wound is the death of Aharon's sons, killed by God. God spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aharon who died when they drew too close to the presence of God. God said to Moshe, "Tell your brother Aharon that he is not to come at all times into the shrine behind the curtain, in front of the cover that is upon the ark, lest he die, for I appear in the cloud over the cover." Acharei Mot opens with a warning, framed with a reference to the catastrophic death of Aharon's sons at the Mishkan's inauguration. Aharon is only to approach the Kodesh at certain times with certain rituals, lest he meet a similar fate to his sons. There, God, who caused his sons' deaths, will appear to Aharon. Rabbinically, the certain time at which Aharon is to enter the Kodesh and encounter God is understood as Yom Kippur. This is a Yom Kippur with a different tragic wound in the background than the one we encounter in Shmot. Rather than a day centered around the sin of the Egel, it is a day colored by the loss of Aharon's sons. In this reading, Yom Kippur is a day that recalls death and grief, a day on which we approach God, holding the reality of inexplicable loss. What might happen to our perception of Yom Kippur, though, if we were to weave together its two strands? What might happen if we read Shmot and Vayikra, the Egel and the death of Aharon's sons, as two parts of a whole? The Or HaChaim, in his commentary on Vayikra, attempts to tie together the Egel with Aharon's loss. When we take a long look at all the factors we have just outlined, it is clear that Aharon had not yet been qualified to enter the inner sanctum of the King of Kings had it not been for the death of his two sons, serving as atonement for his share of the sin of the golden calf. It was only then that the record of his involvement was erased in the celestial spheres. We can now understand our verse properly. God said, "Only after Aharon had been equipped with this, Aharon is able to enter the Holy of Holies." The Or HaChaim weaves together the Egel and Aharon's sons' deaths by suggesting that those deaths somehow atone for Aharon's sin. It is only once he has experienced their deaths that his sin is fully atoned for and he is worthy to enter the Kodesh and stand before God. For most of us, the idea that Nadav and Avihu's deaths could somehow atone for their father's sin is painful and inconceivable. But the Or HaChaim's intuition that there is something about their deaths that matters when Aharon enters the Kodesh on Yom Kippur, in a way that is tied to the Egel, remains valuable. Perhaps Aharon's loss matters when he enters the Kodesh on Yom Kippur because that loss, in some way, gives him something deep and painful that he has in common with God, something that allows him to enter the Kodesh and stand before God in this shared space of pain. The intertwined, interwoven Yom Kippur that the Or HaChaim guides us towards is a day of mirrored images. Aharon and God stand together in the inner sanctum of the Mishkan, brought together by the pain they share. Aharon, the instigator of the golden calf, the cause of God's greatest wound, and God, whose fire killed Nadav and Avihu, the cause of Aharon's. In this room, away from the crowds, Aharon and God's relationship shifts. Here in this moment, they are more than deity and high priest. They are wounders and the wounded. They are two who have suffered at each other's hands. They are two who know, all too intimately, just how dangerous and full of pain the Torah's project to bring together humanity and the divine can be. We do not know what, if anything, God and Aharon say as they stare at each other through the cloud of incense. But in that moment, we can imagine a silent agreement. Forgiveness is too flimsy a word for it. Maybe because all has already been forgiven. Maybe because some things are too much to forgive. Instead, there is determination. Determination that they will continue in this dance, God and priest, for another year. Determination not to walk away. And underneath it all, belief, or even more faintly, hope, that through this coming together, again and again, one day, they might begin to heal.